Hello, everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author to Author, where we talk about writing and life. Because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres that I've mentioned earlier. Current issue contains a conversation between me and Terry Brisson about fearless writing. It's a great conversation. Terry's a great conversational partner. And that's up now on authormagazine.org, so check it out if you'd like. We are also funded by the one and only Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. You can learn more about the PNWA at pnwa.org. They do a writers' conference every year. It's starting to fill up, I know. People are signing up for it. I will be teaching there. I'll be teaching several classes, actually. I'll be teaching a fearless writing workshop, a master class, on the 20th. So it's in July, July 20th to the 23rd, I think, here in the Seattle area. I'll be doing a master class. Donald Moss will be doing his writing the breakout book workshop at the end of the conference. C.C. Humphreys is doing a master class. Vogler's doing his Hero's Journey master class. I'll be doing a fearless marketing class, actually, as well as a class on the personal essay, which is apropos for today's guest. So, plus, of course, there's over 20 agents and editors, lots of classes on the craft, if you're into that sort of thing, the business. It's just a great conference, one of the best, I think, in the country. So check that out at pnwa.org. All the info is there. Speaking of fearless writing, if you're in the Seattle area, I will be doing a virtually free fearless writing workshop this Thursday at East West Books. If you're familiar with that, a great sort of mind, body, spirit focused bookshop here in the Seattle area down in Ravenna. I'll be doing, all it costs is one copy of the book. How about that? What a deal. Usually a lot more than that, but no, it's going to be just one copy of the book. So this Thursday night, Thursday, June 8th, you can come down, see me there. Love to see you. Well, as I said, I'm teaching a class at the conference on personal essays, and I teach a lot of memoir writing and personal essays. Personal essays is what I do now, which is why I was so glad to have today's guest on, Sandra Marinella. Sandra is the author of the just-released The Story You Need to Tell, Writing to Heal from Trauma, Illness, or Loss from the wonderful New World Library. So that book just came out. But Sandra is an award-winning teacher and writer. Recent years, she's taught more than 10,000 writers, given over 200 professional workshops. She also founded the Story You Need to Tell Project. You can find that at storyyouneedtotell.com. It's the Story You Need to Tell Project, where individuals who want to write or tell their stories can discover life-changing stories and learn the power of reworking and editing their personal life stories with the goal of finding hope, inspiration, and a better way of living. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Nothing. Oh, can't wait to talk to Sandra. Let's get her on the show. If I can. Yes, there she is. Sandra, welcome to Author to Author.
I'm honored to be here, Bill. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. Well, congratulations on the publication of this book. I know this is a real labor of love for you in a lot of ways.
It was indeed that. It was 5 years. 5 years in the making. I had no idea when I started on this trek that it would take that long, but it was worth every bit of that journey, I think.
Well, let's talk just a little bit about it so people understand what it is. This is a kind of writing book. It deals with writing about rewriting your life story, stories you have told yourself about your life, as the title says, to help you heal from trauma, loss, and illness. But it could actually, the book could kind of be used in one of two ways. You could use it for purely healing purposes. I also think it could be used to help you just learn how to write about your own life, even if you wanted to, say, do it professionally. I think it could be served in both, for both things. What do you think?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I actually struggled when New World Library bought the book. they wanted the title Writing to Heal from Trauma, Illness, or Loss, because in the research I did, those three areas were so prominent and seemed so important. And I wanted to make a promise to readers that I would make sure I covered those areas. But of course, in writing it, I felt like this is the kind of writing I did all of my life, and it's transformational. I mean, it was helpful in the classrooms that I taught in for 30 years, in high schools and in colleges. And when I left high school and college, I moved over to working, to volunteering actually, with veterans who were struggling and with cancer patients, because I was one. And of course, the same kind of writing was just so, it was the same thing I used in my classrooms, but I was able to refine it and develop it and make it specifically work on helping us live fuller lives.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I write about my own life to the exclusion of all other subjects now, pretty much, and I have found it so helpful. And I mean, what this book is about, we carry our stories about our life with us, and a lot of us, I think, don't recognize the burden of certain stories about past events, past beliefs, and this book highlights, I think, beautifully, how your current life can change when you change a story about what happened to you. Is that too overly simplified?
Oh, no, I think it's a heavy-duty message, and I think we have to put it in simple terms because it's so easy to miss it. Our lives are so complex. It's so easy to fail to understand the power we have over our own stories.
Yes, and so talk a bit about how one rewrites the story of your life. If someone has never attempted that, maybe someone's a fiction writer, they only ever made stuff up, but how do you edit the story from your life? A lot of people would say, well, stuff happened, there's nothing I can do about it. That's what happened. How can I change it? How can I rewrite that?
I actually found in my work, particularly with the veterans, after working with them for several years, I realized that the pattern I was seeing on story transformation was happening over and over and over again. And that if I could actually write about that and document it through research, that I had a book I had to write. I was driven to write this. And I found this was really true in working with them. And I'll just use one example because I think Barbara Lee is just such a crystal example of how you can rewrite your life. And I think a story always tells the process better than making a list. But when I started working with veterans, she would come into our veterans writing group week after week really pretty angry. And she was a woman that had struggled with anger and PTSD issues for years, 20 or 25 years at least. And when I was working with her, I noticed she was writing at first a very little, and then she began to pre-write. And there seems to be, I think, in order to rewrite your story, a need not to race into it, first of all. I think you have to accept that when you have shock or trauma, you have to experience it. You have to let it find its place in your life. Your emotional and your brain has got to cope with what's happening to you. So there is that point where it's probably best not to write. And then after that, what happens is you begin to break your silence. And clearly this happened with Barbara. She began to write poems talking about various words, about her fears, about her struggles. And eventually these poems became horrific stories. And they were stories, I remember the day she read a poem in our group. And it was called Emotional Autopsy. And it was the story of a woman who had been beaten, abused, and tossed aside in an autopsy room and forgotten. And I remember the day she read it, I looked around the room and there were 12 veterans there. And, I mean, there were tears in every eye when she read that, because I think it was that day we knew that she was beginning to release her story. She was breaking her silence and beginning to make sense of her story and tell it to us. And so it can happen. And what I love about teaching is I saw that this personal writing can happen. And I'm sure because you're a personal writer too, you know this. Personal writing doesn't just happen in journals. It can happen in your poems, in your stories.
Oh.
Right, you want to talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. It you know, because I write about my life all the time. And, you know, and one of the first things I asked myself the first time I told a story from my own life, because I've been telling people stories. I like to tell stories. I'm a storyteller. But I was writing these blogs for Author Magazine. I was doing it more or less every day. And one day I decided to write a story, not just a kind of – I would write about certain topics, but I decided just to tell a straight-up story for my creative life. And I asked myself this question, which I find incredibly – which I put to all my students, which is – how would I tell this story to somebody who doesn't know me, who knows nothing about me and who I'll never meet and who doesn't love me or doesn't know that they love me?
Right.
How can this story be of use to someone who doesn't know me? And it changed my relationship to my past. I made it material instead of something that happened to me. It became
Right.
It became transformative. What was the lesson in that thing? Not what happened to me. What was the lesson about life? In that, and it, I couldn't look at my life the same way anymore. What was the
that's
lesson?
That's beautiful.
And, you know,
right.
I have a theory. I want to put this to you, Sandra. It's not even a theory anymore. I think it's a fact. But I Fearless Writing, that's the book I published, is about essentially the future. I think all fear is a story about the future, even if it's a minute from now, you know, or an hour from now, or a year from now. It's a story about the future. That's what our fear is. And I think all of our inadequacy, all of our what we call our sin, our sense of either our inadequacy or life's inadequacy is a story about the past. All of our pain is a story about the past. All of it. Not some of it. All of it. A story about the past.
Right.
What do you think?
Oh, I agree with you, and I'm going to thread us back to Barbara Lee, because she had been carrying that rape story in her for over 20 years. She had been carrying a story that she had told no one, and it began to come out in our writing group in these beautiful but horrific poems, talking about this pain and this horror that had happened, and slowly. The poems began to change, and she began to focus. She began to leave that pain behind. She began to move past that, and she began to write about things she was going to do, things she could move forward. And the transformation was that's when it happens, when you can really find meaning.
Let's talk about that pain. The pain, because the pain has to come from a misunderstanding of what happened. Right. In other words, even if she witnessed the whole, I had a client who would also had been a veteran and dealt and teaches PTSD, and she had been a nurse in Vietnam and all this. And a lot of what she was dealing with is how does she make sense of what she saw? She saw these things, that happened.
Right.
But what does it mean? And her pain, I felt, came from the conclusion she drew about humanity and herself, or just humanity in general. Mm-hmm. From what she saw. Isn't that the source of the pain? More than, in other words, it's the conclusions you draw about that event.
Oh, it's definitely, I think you are right. We write our meaning, and I think we choose our meaning. So if you're going to rewrite, you're right, in that sense that I think Barbara had decided that having been overseas, having been raped brutally by a fellow serviceman and not having told anyone for over 20 years, she had just felt like this is horrible, this could never be discussed. And when she began to rewrite and understand, wait a minute, I can break my silence. I can tell this story. I can be authentic and honest. And once she did that, you're right. It's a whole – she changed the story. It changed it.
And I'm guessing some of her pain came not just from what happened, but what she thought about herself. Because on some level, when stuff like that happens, on some level we blame ourselves. We think there's something wrong with us. I'm sure it's easy to be angry at him, but on some level she had to forgive herself for that happening, that she didn't deserve it, that she, you know, all the crap that comes with those kinds of painful events. She had to let that go, too. And she probably was, and I'm just guessing all this, but I've worked with so many of these kinds of students that she guessed that if I told that story, people would think less of me, maybe, would think she was dirty, that she was bad.
Oh,
is that possible?
I think so. And I think she was afraid that he would lose his job, she would lose her job, everything.
Right.
I mean, this was over 20 years ago when it really wasn't discussed. I mean, when you really did not have too many people go after a rapist. So it was a really difficult thing for her. But watching the change and watching the change in her poems and her self-definition, she began to see herself very differently. And I think you've had this, because you teach so many writing classes, I think you've had this experience too, where you just look back through the years and you think, wow, so much of our writing really, whether we acknowledge it or not, is personal writing. I mean, we are putting our story out there.
All, I tell my students, I say, all memoir is fiction, because to some degree, you can't tell the whole story. You have to modify it. So all memoir is fiction, but all fiction is memoir. And I think no matter what, you're writing about your own life. You're writing, but you're using it. But this is again what I tell my students is, how can you help someone else with it? Because that's how you'll help yourself. It's not just a list of shit that happened to you. It can't be that, you know, a laundry list of your grievances. It's not going
right.
to help you or anybody else, right?
Oh, right. Oh, I think that's a really good point. And I really stress that you want to use reflection with your writing. You don't want to use rumination. I mean, you want to avoid just repeating it over and over and spilling your guts and blah, blah, blah. You want to tell your story, but then you want to reflect on what you, as you said earlier, what you can learn from it and what you can do with it, because it's having that power over story and not letting story have the power over you. Our brains, I think probably the most enlightening part of writing the book was all the study I did into the brain research, and you are so right. We have in our left brain this little interpreter, and this little interpreter, when a story is incomplete, this little part of our left brain is going to complete the story for you. It has to.
Yeah.
Our brain
yeah.
has to put a story together and make sense of it.
That's
so
right.
Once we understand that and can let our own facility control that through our words, then we're not controlled by it.
And I think a lot of people think that I know for me, it was understanding that in a way everything's a story, and there's no such, and that what I thought of as reality, well, there's nothing you can do about it, was just my interpretation of an experience. It wasn't that what I call reality was just an interpretation. It wasn't an actual reality. It was just a story I was telling, and that I can keep changing the story to serve me, as opposed to me serving a story that I've been telling about winning or losing or success or failure or whatever it is, you know.
Right.
You choose the story that you want. You choose it. Well,
so
you have to be now, Sandra. I love teaching memoir, but I love them coming to me with their stories, and it's always filled with all kinds of trauma, illness, and loss, just like you say. And I love it personally. I find it moving and inspiring. But you have to be willing to sit with that as a teacher. You can't be afraid of the pain. You can't be afraid of their what they're going to have to go through to get to where you know they want to get. You're like a therapist in that way. Did that ever intimidate you, or were you always was that easy for you to do?
I think I have taught writing for so long, and seeing the difficulty people have tapping into their stories and going deep. That it was a pretty easy transition to be working with cancer patients and with veterans who were traumatized. I mean, it's really more of a struggle to get them to be willing to go there, to get them to be willing to find the space that they need to find to heal.
How do you help them do that?
I do have days. Well, I think you just put the prompts out there and you guide them gently forward.
Yeah.
To tell their story, you give them the prompts that allow them to explore what has happened, or who they are, or where they're going, or what story they're stuck on. You give them those prompts, and then they find their way. And other people, I usually teach in a writing group, so other people share their work, and they begin to hold the models. And I take models in. There are so many great writers that we love and we share. When we teach our groups, right, that they can see how this is done, how you tap into authenticity, how you tap into your truth.
Yeah, Yeah, you have to, it's how you tap into your truth, because you have to believe, you have to know the difference between what it feels like to speak the truth and what it feels like to speak kind of a lie you've been telling yourself that you're clinging to.
Oh.
You know, and isn't a lot of what you have to get around is victim, a sense of being a victim, whether it's to cancer or to abuse or to, I mean, the sense of there's nothing you could do, you have no power. I think that's unfair.
I think that's a big one. If we go back to, you teach a lot about this too, the power of the positive, the power of, again, making our story and choosing how we're interpreting it. And so many of the cancer groups, many of the writers that came to me said they struggled with cancer support groups. And while many of them are good, sometimes you get in them people who are negative. And when they start seeing negative stories, and if we don't say, hey, wait a minute, let's look at the research here on how we are spinning our stories, how we're writing our stories. And I don't know if you do this, but one of the things I found really helpful in my writing group is just to insert little pieces of research that talk about how important it is to be grateful and how important it is to be.
I never use research, but I so believe it that I just tell them as if I am the voice of God. You've got to be positive. And you know why I can do that, Sandra? It's not that I am God, but I have tried both sides of that. That's right. I've tried being negative, and it never, ever, ever, ever worked. So I have been a laboratory of one, and I just can't be talked out of it, you know. I just know.
Yes, no, I think they understand immediately. And in my book, and I know in your book as well, that was recently released, I'm always pulling on those examples that show the power of just changing that story to work for you instead of letting it take you in the wrong direction.
Oh, you've got to be deliberate. I always think of the blank page. That page is blank. It ain't going to fill itself unless you make a decision. And what you can choose, anything. It's a powerful moment.
And that's why we write, right? Why we write, Bill?
That's right. What's the world you want to create? It's every story is everything. It's not part. It's the only. I think it's the only way we understand being alive is story. There's a great quote. Oh, I wish I could remember who it is. This woman, she said, as far as human beings are concerned, it's not the world isn't made of atoms, but of tiny stories. It's not made of atoms, but of tiny stories.
Oh yes.
What's the quote?
Oh yes.
Who is it?
One of my heroines is Christina Baldwin, and she has written a wonderful book. And her quote in Storycatcher is, "My story is myself, and I am my story. This is all you will know of me. It is all I will know of you. This is all that will survive of us, the stories of who we are."
That's right.
I love
it's
that.
It's really true.
I love that.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I think so, too.
You had cancer, and you used this process that you teach others to help yourself through that. And so now you're teaching. How has your writing evolved as you've become so conscious of changing your own stories?
I have to use my journal a lot less, to be honest.
Oh, really?
I think I find, I really do. I think what I learned, I've always been a journal writer, and I have used journal writing to help me process difficult experiences. But I still write in my journal. But when I had cancer, I was writing in my journal almost daily and trying to work things out, trying to understand where I was headed.
Yeah.
But as I've begun teaching it, it's become so automatic in my brain. I mean, I'm filtering the processes I'm teaching through all of my thought processes. So I don't have to perhaps whine as much to get things out in my journal. I can just reflect and do my professional writing, do more of the essay writing, as you say. I see myself as a creative nonfiction writer. I noticed you define yourself as a personal essayist. And
I would say that's the best definition,
Yes, and I love that. I love that we want to focus on what's real, what's really happening, because it takes so long as a writer, doesn't it, to really hone down and realize what you really want to create. And I loved it. It's
all right, keep going. It's all right.
Some criticism. Yes. I think the New Yorker said, or the New York Times was saying, maybe the personal essay is gone, and I'm thinking, oh, no, it will never die.
No, no.
You do not have to worry.
A personal essay is a beautiful form, and really, if it's used right, it's close to a work of fiction because you can cobble together several stories from your life to create one new work of, I'll call it art, you know, that are connected, that lead to one thought that you're trying to share. I love the personal essay. I just love it. I wouldn't have known that 30 years ago, you know, when I first started really wanting to write, but it's really where I'm happiest now. I love it.
Yeah. I agree. You know, nonfiction and pursuing, I think it's just this, you want to come open with the truth. You want to find it. That's not, it's a trick. So it's an art. And it's wonderful to pursue it.
Here's my approach. I always started learning it through when I was writing more or less a daily blog. We'll call it, I don't like the word, but I thought of them as essays, each one. My motto was, everything's okay, even when it looks like everything's not okay. So that would be my trick, which is no matter what I'm writing about, no matter what struggle, what pain, whatever, it's always everything is okay, I just haven't seen it yet. And that has served me so well. That has served me so well. And that's how I find something to say, because I can start anywhere and just head towards, but everything's okay. Does that make sense?
That's perfect. Oh, it absolutely makes sense. One of my students years ago gave me a little placard for my desk that said, it's all good. And I've always liked keeping that right on my desk to remind myself, you can make it good. You can make it work.
Well, yeah, you quote, I just taught myself to play this song. I was so happy. Hey Jude by the Beatles, and probably my favorite song ever. And he taught, and you know, the lyrics go and take a sad song and make it better. And it's profound when you do that. Take something sad but make it better. For real.
Yes.
Don't put gloss on it. Actually make it better.
Yes, and it's such a great story, I think, that Paul McCartney felt sad that the Lennons were splitting up, and he felt he had to go out and talk to their son. And so it's such a human, beautiful story, and all the words of the song. I'm glad you can play it, Bill.
Yeah, well, believe me, that was a lifetime in the making. I finally realized I could. It was thrilling to me. Well, Sandra, you're my sister from another mother. I could talk to you for a long time, but we have to end this. And
I would love to
have one more question
for
you.
I've learned a lot.
You have? Oh, well, so have I.
Oh, yeah.
You and I are teaching the same stuff in a lot of ways. It's so cool. I'm so glad you're doing this work. But I kind of feel like maybe you've answered this question, but I don't care. I'm going to ask it to you anyway. I like to ask all my guests this. Finish this sentence. If writing has taught you anything, it's taught you what?
Oh, it's taught me not simply the truth, but how to ground myself, how to make life fulfilling. It's given me a path that I can walk down to make life better all the time.
Yeah. It's a way to focus, isn't it? It's a way to make sense of...
Oh,
yeah.
To reflect and make sense of ourselves. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, Sandra, what's that?
I said, how would you answer that?
Boy, I could answer it a lot of ways. I would say, last time I was asked that question, I said it taught me the difference between form and content. Because I used to be obsessed with form, I think. And then I understood what content actually was and how content, whether it's certainly in terms of writing, what the story is trying to share, what the gift you're trying to give is, leads to the form. And that leads, I think that's throughout the whole of life. Let yourself be, what is the content of your life, not the form? Forget about the form, but focus on the content.
Oh, that makes sense. That is why.
You know, I used to focus so much on my sentences and my paragraphs and they all be crystally beautifully. And I don't do that anymore. And it's affected my entire life, really, in terms of just how I live, not paying attention so much to the form, you know.
Right.
To the content.
Right. You're in search of your meaning. You're in search of the
exactly.
purpose.
Exactly.
Living it. And
it's a growing up thing, Sandra. I had to grow up.
I think it might be.
I think it is.
I think we all do. I think
we all
think
do, like it or
ongoing.
Not. Now, the story you need to tell, I want to let our listeners one more time. The story you need to tell, Writing to Heal from Trauma, Illness, or Loss by Sandra Marinella. You can get it where all the great books are sold. If they want to, so Sandra Mella, is it sandramarinella.com? Or the story, which is the best place to find out about you?
You can find it at sandramarinella.com, or you can find it at storyyoutell.com, or Amazon,
right.
or Barnes & Noble, or everybody else. So we're good.
Excellent. All the places. All right. Well, Sandra, have fun with this book, and I can't wait for your next one, whatever it is.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Bill. I look forward to finishing your book, Fearless Writing, too. Great book.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, everybody, she's so right. It's a path forward. What it takes to write the book you want to write is what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. It's true. Sandra knows it. I know it. And I think you know it, too. I'll be off next week. I'll be back with a week after that. I'll be back with the memoirist Claire Dieterer. Love and Trouble is the book. It's getting a lot of buzz, and it's an awfully good one. So I'll be back in 2 weeks to talk to her. In the meantime, go do something you love. Can't hurt.